From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. Yes, you've got me back. It's like, who's going to be on the show this week? If you follow my logic. This is Postcard from Poprad. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, where it's getting a bit nippy round the little bits. And I'm having to put my long johns on at night, nearly. Well, maybe not. No, I can't be bothered to do that. We're based in the beautiful town of Poprad, on the east side of Slovakia. So look us up in the geography thing, map. Google what's it, that's the one. Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, you lovely people on Audio Boot, and of course the stalwarts of RTI. Thank you so much for being here. On the show this week we've got Mark Genda.
Sorry. Yeah, hello there. The good thing about Paris is that there's always a cup of tea around, and sorry, I was just having...
You were slurping, weren't you?
I was slurping, yes. But I tell you, it was worth it, and it's better when it's slurping.
Oh, I see. Tea's more important than me. For the first time on the programme, the duet is Mark and Eric. Blimey. That's the first time we've done it together, Mark.
I know, but we'd better not let everybody know.
No, that's true.
Lee, I think, will get very jealous.
Oh, well, he will. He's like that as well. We'll just sort of sit there and go, well, actually, if you're normally with the programme, now we've got the opportunity, we can share that Lee, I don't know if you've ever pictured Lee, and I'm not joking when I say he has a huge ponytail, which is all white. I can't do it in metres that quickly, maybe Mark can. He measures about 5'6" tall, and he weighs in, well, he's been on a diet. So he's about 18 stone now, so he's a bit roly-poly. And he looks like Gordon Ramsay before Gordon Ramsay had the face work. That's kind of a fair description, isn't it?
And I suppose this is a bit nasty, but the hair is white because it's grey. But I have to say, he looks quite an impressive character. He really looks quite an impressive character. And if you see his sort of head and shoulders portrait, he looks like sort of Man Mountain, really, with the hair all over the
place. He does, really, doesn't he? But in truth, when you see him, he's a bit like a Wookiee.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's right. Yes.
Anyway, if you like...
Where's he gone?
We're not saying that.
Oh, right.
We're keeping it a closely guarded secret because of the activities going on there.
Right.
If you see what I mean.
I'll ask you later.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Anyway, the sideways look at the news. Unfortunately, Petra's not here this week either because she's away looking after the kids. So that brings it down to thee and me to look after everything. You poor, poor listeners. Sad news this week to start things off. We've had the loss of the, I have to say, genius, as much as I've taken the mickey out of Apple in the past, of Steve Jobs. Yes. Died age 56. Yeah. Steve was born in California in 1955, was then adopted by some a lovely couple out there. He had a little job at Hewlett-Packard for a while before he went to work for Atari, then did a typical sort of Steve dropout job and went travelling to India where he became a Buddhist. And then a little bit later on, with Steve, his school friend, in 1976, they launched Apple and brought out the first Apple computer the same year. Steve then had a bit of a bust up at Apple and left, but then went on to buy and grow the Pixar Animation Company, which was absolutely phenomenal. And Pixar is just an amazing thing. If you watch any big movies, you'll see Pixar everywhere. He later married in 1991 in a Buddhist ceremony, as it goes, and got three children with his wife and a daughter from a previous marriage as well, sadly left behind. Steve amassed a wealth of something like $8.3 billion, which is, I suppose, testament to his creativity and his genius.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. But sadly, in 2003, and this again shows the strength of the guy, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and did take some periods of sick leave in the middle of all that, but stayed in charge at Apple until August this year. And, you know, he really stuck with it. And let's face it, the 4S phone was launched, and the day after that, Steve died. So I think he got to where he wanted to go, which is an amazing thing. But what was really, really interesting was watching people like Sir Alan Sugar talking about him and saying what a genius he was. And Alan actually said, I only made computers. He built, you know, he created them. on a television interview, which was amazing. And of course, we had people like Bill Gates, who said the world rarely sees someone who has the profound impact Steve has had. And that kind of true. And I think the other very interesting one, because there's lots of always negativity thrown around Facebook all the time, and something I didn't know, Mark Zuckerman wrote on Facebook and said, Steve, thank you for being a mentor and a friend. Thanks.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is nice. To know that Steve was mentoring him. Yeah. Thanks for showing that what you can build can change the world. I will miss you. And apparently there was well over 250,000 likes to that comment, within minutes. And somebody I had the pleasure of working for once is Michael Bloomberg, the New York mayor, who said that the US has lost a genius who will be remembered with Edison and Einstein. And I think one of the highest accolades, considering where he came from and what he achieved, from News Corp's Rupert Murdoch, he simply said Steve Jobs was simply the greatest CEO of his generation. And I'd like to add to that, Rupert, visionary. And he had that ability to come up with an idea and not let it go until it was completed, which is quite rare, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've met a few Buddhists in my time, actually. And I have to say that I've often found in them a certain sort of depth and calm. And I've never met Steve Jobs, but having seen him, I don't know why, but there was something in his eyes, something about him that made me feel that he was very much the same way. And he had a charisma that I think was able to communicate, through the technology. You didn't have to meet him to feel it.
No, and I think that was you're quite right there. Just touching on as an orator, he had that ability to really hook up with people. And I know there was lots of jokes passed about the singing the Apple national anthem when he went on stage, but he did grab people like that. And I think that was due to his passion as well, Mark. But there you go. Steve Jobs has left us. I have to say, I did watch his keynote earlier in the year when he was really taking the mickey out of what he described as the copycat tablets. I thought that was hysterical. And so wherever you are now, Steve, thank you very much for all that which you've done. You've changed so many things in this world, not to mention, the MP3 and the tablet generation. That's just two areas. And I just absolutely amazing man. And I think your legacy will go on for decades, not generations, but absolute decades.
Yep, absolutely.
Steve Jobs, who died age 56 this week. Also this week, slightly less important, but something close to my heart, David Cameron did a keynote speech this week in the UK as Prime Minister for the second time at the Conservative Party conference. Now, did you see this, Mark?
No, I've been out of contact with that shit at the moment. I've been trying to sort my broken shoulder out. But, I have to say that I noticed that one of the things he was doing was asking why companies aren't taking more apprentices, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And that kind of gets to me a bit, because I think England is very much like this. And so here's my tip for you, David. The problem in British industry is that everybody spends so much time looking over their shoulders and worrying about what's going on their behalf that they miss a blazing trick here. And if you're a manager, let me give you a tip. If you've got a team and don't develop that team, and let me explain something. Some of you will know, or Mark knows, and Lee and a few other people. The day job here is a media centre. And that's not sort of a fancy television thing. It means that we produce, edit radio shows, video shows for companies, media training, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And what we've definitely found is the people that come from so-called media universities have absolutely no idea what works, and nothing that will help them in a media career. Very well, I won't say always, but most of the time. And this is where it gets to my point. We have to bring in people like Al Petra, for example, is a perfect example. When I first met Petra, she was working at a water company. Now, what the hell has that got to do with the media? Not a lot, nothing. But we could see in Petra that she had certain abilities, and we coached her. Now, that's the same as taking on apprentices and coaching them.
Yeah.
Now, further than that, we've taken on some other people, and we've got them up into editing positions. So we've got professional audio editor level people, and so on and so forth. So the whole thing's been built up, this whole team that we have, that which is both in Slovakia here and in the UK. Part of my job is to coach these people as you would in the old-fashioned apprenticeship days, and I was an apprentice, and bring them up to your standard, and if not better.
Yeah.
When you're measured by your manager or your chairman or whatever, when your team is as good as you, your team looks good. Therefore, you get a pat on the back. If you haven't encouraged your team, encouraged your apprentices, and encouraged learning, your team looks rubbish. So as a manager, you look rubbish.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, you know, I think companies are quite right. I mean, I think they should be taking on more apprentices. I mean, I think people need to get a start. And I think that apprentices can probably contribute to companies. But I sort of feel that maybe there's a culture that companies sort of think, well, hang on a minute, what are we dealing with here? With school leavers, people who haven't got any experience, they're just going to get in the way, they're going to need sheepdogging and this sort of thing. And I have to say, you know, I don't think that's necessarily right. But I think there are two things. Even if that is the case, I think companies need to put something back into the society. And I think also, as you say, I think that they will, you know, meet some people who have got the aptitude, and it may be a really quite a fabulous way to get new employees and to start to bring them on from the ground up.
Exactly. I'll share another story with you, because I do know this guy, because he still stays in touch, and it's really sweet. So thank you very much. I won't say who you are, but you know who you are. And he is a senior managerial person in Dixon's group. All right. Are you typing while I'm talking?
Oh, did you hear that?
Yes.
I just had an urgent email come through.
Anyway, at that time, his mum worked as a sales lady under my management. And she came in one day and she said, "Eric, I'm at wit's end. You know, bleep. Well, the school are saying he's a load of rubbish. Da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. And you know, they were just literally writing him off as a 15-year-old. So I said, well, look, hang on. He's due to break up for school. Why don't we bring him in here and let me have a little chat with him. We'll see what we can do with him. No promises. Let's just see. So we brought this lad in. He was obsessed with cameras to the point of being as bad as Lee about his antiques.
Yeah.
So we had a little chat. And I said, well, okay, let's have a look at this. And we put all this portfolio of what he'd done, but with a technical write-up at the bottom. He then applied for a junior post at Dixon's, and they snapped him up. Snapped him up.
Yeah.
Because, and there was no pun intended on that one, seriously, that, you know, he became in the local Dixons, the camera expert, moved on to other technology, swallowed it up like, he was like a sponge swallowing this stuff up. Yeah. And I saw that in the kid, and he went on to do better and better and better things. And I said to him one day, I said, you'll have the same joy that I had, which is bumping into an old teacher and going, and walking past. And he said to me, it happened. And this teacher that had written him off sort of walked up to him as if to say, hello, I'm me, and said, hello, you, but didn't use Mr. or anything, just used his surname. And as I did to one teacher, I just said to him, it's Mr. to you, bleep, without a Mr., bye-bye, and walked on. And this is the problem with England. You can't do things like that. You've got to look at the skill set that maybe is within. So please, companies, please, 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 don't just look at the media coverage. Don't just look at some school teacher who, if he had one more brain cell, would make an amoeba. Actually look at the person you are talking to and see what skill set's in there, because seriously, and Cameron is right on this one, and it's not a political thing, it's true, if you want England to come out of the recession, it's got to have skilled workers. Awesome. Now, if you haven't got the skilled workers, because they're all dead or retired, what do you do?
Well, you go abroad for it, don't you?
Well, you could become the next state of America, I suppose.
Yeah.
or something equally as daft as that. So come on, business people out there, get your backsides into gear and go out and talk to some of these younger guys, you know, up sort of 18 to 30-year-olds, and just talk to them and see what the skill set is from them as a human being, not what's on paper, not what some school teacher's told you. Sorry, I'm ranting. I haven't been here for weeks. And just...
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, rather. And just look at the person and take them on. And don't forget, there's even a government grant for it.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
you can get
the government pays you to take on people to help your business, and you can help the people.
Absolutely.
It's really a good deal.
A big news item this week came in, and I thought to myself, because it came in from Ericsson to sort of boast, I suppose, that shares in the Swedish telecoms firm Ericsson had risen because of a report saying that Sony was going to buy out their mobile phone division.
Yeah, not very flashing for Ericsson, is it?
So, well, the thing is...
I thought they had.
Well,
exactly. Sony.
I mean, when you pick your phone up, do you say Ericsson Sony?
No, you certainly don't.
You say Sony, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think of, you know, I mean, I've got a I've got an old Sony Ericsson.
Yeah.
Does anybody buy a new Sony Ericsson anyway? I mean, I'm not sure that they're really sort of hitting the market now, are they? And that's probably one of the reasons.
Well,
for
No, actually, I did pick one up the other week.
Yeah.
Because A, it was incredibly cheap, and B, it was 7 o'clock at night, and I just broke my phone.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I picked up a little Sony Ericsson thing, the silvery-coloured, it's got the Walkman badge on it, and it's actually not a bad telephone, apart from the button in the middle's already crashed after 2 minutes. But the thing is, I don't think anybody sort of connects with Ericsson on here.
No, I don't think they do. But I don't think anybody really connects the brand with smartphones anyway. I don't know. I mean, I know that they do some smartphones, some smallish ones, but it seems to me that the whole brand is still really connected with, you know, touch push-button dials and this sort of thing. Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, they were good, you know. They were good, very reliable. And I've got one as a backup in case my smartphone fails. But the smartphone could never be a Sony or a Sony Ericsson.
Really?
Just hasn't got what I need.
Well, it's funny because Martina uses a Sony Ericsson smartphone.
Yeah.
And she loves it to bits. She had a Nokia before that and hated it.
Yes.
But the Sony Ericsson one, she absolutely adores. You know the one where it's where you have to sort of flick the button? It's a bit like an iPhone sort of thing.
Yeah.
One of those ones.
No, I really don't know it at all. And I tell you what, I mean, I use an HTC, and I can tell you that my contract's running out. I'll be using a Samsung next if it goes, still on the market. I use them for running the Consumer Action Group. I need something with a large screen that accesses the internet very well and does all those kind of things. And the HTC, which got a very large screen, and the Samsung that I got by Ion has also got a very large screen and seems to be fast and powerful. Mm. And Sony Ericsson didn't really even come into the equation.
Well, that's funny you mentioned Samsung, because you did. I don't know if you saw the business results, but funnily enough, Samsung came in with better than predicted results.
Oh, right. I thought they were going down. And, of course, I know they've got all these problems. They're locking horns with Apple in various countries. And I think in some places, in fact, I'm a bit worried because the one that I wanted, I think, is actually banned by the European Court.
Oh, that one.
That one, yes,
yeah.
They've been told not to use it until these patent litigation has been sorted out. But I looked on the website, and in fact, I see that it's still being offered. And my contract expires the end of November, so I'm hoping I'll make it.
Oh, well, good luck for them. This just gets me. Headline reads, Cleaning Up Dope.
Yes.
Now, apparently, cleaning, as well as security staff, will be tasked with informing on doping cheats next summer's Olympic Games in London.
Yeah, what an interesting story, hey?
Now, I am not casting aspersions over cleaning staff, but I've seen some of them, some of which I wouldn't let tune a bush bike bell. They walk with their heads down, going, and when you talk to them, they go, ugh. And that's about it. You know,
This could be very discriminatory of cleaning staff.
I'm sure there's some wonderful cleaning staff out there. Yeah. All right, and unfortunately, I've just come across some of the bad ones. Yeah. But in all seriousness, folks, how does a cleaning person become an anti-doping person just by sitting in a classroom for a couple of minutes?
Well, I mean,
suggesting all cleaning staff take dope?
I'm sure that. I mean, in a way, the way the news has been reported almost gives the impression that the entire dope monitoring operation will be conducted by cleaning staff, and I'm sure that's not true at all. I think what we've got here is, you know, an additional string to their bow. And I mean, you know, let's face it. I suppose that cleaning staff are the kind of people who are more likely to find, I don't know, do they use syringes? What do they use? But anyway, the evidence. But what really interests me is, what are they doing to motivate these people to do this? Because it seems to me that there's going to have to be some payment. There's going to have to be a commission or something like that for turning in the evidence. And I'm just wondering what kind of questions, what kind of can of worms that opens up. And of course, I haven't noticed any of this, but I can't imagine that the authorities are simply asking cleaners to help them out on this without any kind of carrot. Mm.
I hadn't thought of that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, there's got to be something in it.
There's going to be in there.
Reward scheme. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it makes you wonder, well, I don't know, I would just be a bit anxious about it. I think it's important that everybody knows the whole scheme. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but it just seems to me something more.
Maybe they're doing it for the good of Queen and country in the Olympics.
Well, maybe they are.
Not.
And then maybe they're not.
Could be. Well, anyway, that's the idea. The guy that's in charge of all the stuff there, a gentleman called Jonathan Harris, says there'll be intelligence sources coming from security and from cleaning, for example. These are functional areas that have been involved in anti-doping in previous games.
Yeah. Is this the guy that gave the interview while he was eating a sweet and then swallowed the sweet wrapper?
Probably. Yes. And we are educating those personnel in those functional areas. Hang on a minute. They've been using cleaning staff in anti-doping in previous games. Well, it hasn't worked then, has it?
Doesn't seem to, no.
If you think about it, it's a disaster. You have to excuse me, boys and girls. I'm still getting over this flu bug, which apparently 5,000 people have had in and around Slovakia. Yucky. Which brings me on to probably final item for this part of the programme. Apparently, I need to have more vitamin D, according to research. Fair-skinned people, fair, that's me, who are prone to sunburn. Oh, don't tell me about some... I've only got a look at the sun and I burn. May need to take supplements to ensure they get enough vitamin D, says experts. Do you suffer?
Well, no, but I mean, why do you need so much vitamin D? What does it do? What happens if you don't get it?
Well, it's for bones and things like that.
Oh, it's for bones. What do? You sort of flop around? I mean, you know, is this why, for instance, you've got sort of octopus and squid and this sort of thing and that flop around because they don't have enough vitamin D?
Well, apparently it's for healthy bones and teeth.
Really?
Well, that explains it, because I haven't got any. Oh, well.
What? teeth. Bones or teeth?
No, I haven't got any teeth. I haven't had any since I was a teenager. Because I played silly beggars with motorbikes, but that's another story. Right. That's what it's there for. And the trouble with pale-skinned people, you know, they go out for like 30 seconds and don't get enough vitamin D. This research, by the way, was carried out by Cancer Research UK. They funded it all. And I have to say, seriously, I mean, I can remember, I mean, this is a stupid story, in that one day I was in Dubai.
Yeah.
We had a week's work out there, and on the last day, we were all packed up nice and early, so I went and, like, don't you ring phone, and I went down to the to lay down by the pool outside.
Go ahead.
I fell asleep.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
For how long?
About 4 hours.
Oof. Ouch.
I then had to...
bring out the calamine lotion?
Well, I had all sorts of spray skin and stuff all over me. Yeah. Because it was a relative's birthday. I was due to meet in the local hostelry near home, and I got there, and I'm going to everybody, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. I was completely like little tiny marble-sized blisters all over my back and the back of my legs, and I had to fly 7 hours like that.
Eric the Lobster.
I was more than a lobster, mate, more than a lobster. It was outrageous. But apparently this is true. Especially for fair-skinned people, you should take a vitamin D supplement. Yeah. But there's a problem with that.
Go on, then.
Normally, you get it from oily fish in your diet.
In your diet, so you don't have to rub the fish over you? Or
no, 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 no. So you get this supplement in from oily fish in your diet.
Yeah.
Fundamental problem.
You don't like fish?
Well, I kind of do and I don't. But as to oily fish, which are, the first one that springs to mind is something like mackerel.
Yeah, because that's delicious.
Is it?
Oh, wonderful. Oh, mackerel is absolutely so wonderful. I mean, you can fry it very gently, or you can wrap it up in a tin foil, an aluminium foil, papayette, and put it in the oven for about 20 minutes and bring it out and open it up and have it wonderful with a baked potato. Uh-huh. It's fabulous stuff. Oh, yes.
The sales pitch isn't working, Mark. It ain't working. It ain't working at all. I'm still not...
sardines.
What, them ones with oil on things?
Yeah. Or cod liver oil.
Oh, no! Oh, that is just too gross.
Cod liver oil tablets, fantastic. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to have to have stuff by the teaspoon. Now they've got these capsules, and they just, you know, you eat them, and they just melt in your stomach. And you don't
doesn't he sort of make you go... Don't you get a... from that stuff?
You mean...
a bottom burp.
Well, I wish Petra was here. She could tell us what the slowback was for it. Maybe you know.
Well, in my case, it would be smuglish.
Oh, right. My children tell me that in Russian it's pukna. Puknali.
No. Well, in my case, it would be smugglish, which means smelly. But anyway, I mean, dairy products I'm into-ish.
Yeah.
I have milk.
But I don't think milk contains vitamin D, does it?
I don't know.
I think milk contains... Doesn't milk just contain the calcium, and then you need the vitamin D to aid the calcium absorption? I think that's
so
what
it does. Where does that come from? Cheese?
What?
Vitamin D. Do they have that in the cheese?
I don't know. No, I mean, don't
eat that.
What do you eat?
Meat.
You just eat meat?
Yeah. I mean, before I had my appendix taken out, my ambition was to get it working again.
Get your appendix working?
Yeah.
I think appendixes work.
They don't now, but in Neanderthal man time, the appendix was there to help digest meat.
Is that right?
Well, before it was all cooked, yes. That's why it's shriveled up, because once you'd cooked it all, you didn't need that help. So your appendix became superfluous.
Oh, right.
But I always used to joke and say, my appendix, my dream is to get my appendix working again. And the only way to do that is eat more meat.
You'd have to eat it raw. Steak tartare. I love a steak tartare.
Oh, I love steak tartare.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're talking my food. Seriously, you ask anybody in the office, if I don't have meat for, say, 3 or 4 days, I will look like John Major. Grey.
Right. Well, that's... I suppose in your area, at night on a full moon, so we find sort of, you know, sheep lying around with their throats ripped out.
Yeah, right, okay, just because it's Dracula. That's the end of part one of Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. We'll be back faster than you can say Postcard from Poprad. In a couple of minutes.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.